Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. Appreciate that song. As you make your way to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, as we break down in the next few weeks leading up into Christmas, this song of praise that Mary wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Let's read this song of praise. Mary writes, or Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." We just sang that. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he is mighty and has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those who humble are of humble estate." And exalted those of humble estate. "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." I love Christmas songs. The very songs that we just sang, and even "He Who Is Mighty," it's a Christmas song. I love songs actually just in general. I love to sing, even though I can't sing. I guess I can sing, but there's a reason I'm up front, so you can't hear me. But depending on the different songs that are sung, they can bring about different emotions, can't they? Start playing a Hallmark or a AT&T commercial, and they start playing that song, those really emotional songs, and literally, I could start crying during an AT&T commercial. Music can also get you pumped up. "Eye of the Tiger"? Anyone? "We Are the Champions"? You play those songs and I'm ready to take on the world. I imagine you have songs like that. I'm guessing that God is a music lover. Why? Because I read scripture, specifically what we read today, and God's word has lots of songs. Songs that we can remember what God has done. They are a huge part of God's word. I'm not sure why. One of my guesses is it helps us to remember his word. Oftentimes a song will come up and I can rally off that whole lyric. Even if it's a song in the 70s, Led Zeppelin, a song comes on, I could just start singing it. God uses song to help us memorize his word. There are 150 psalms. These are songs that Israel would sing so that they remember God's promises, even when they're in exile. They were to sing these songs. They would also sing songs of the coming Messiah, keeping these things in their heart and their minds, no matter the circumstances. During this Christmas season, I want you to think about this specific song. Circle it. I want you to see Mary's heart about the Son of God who would be born.
Mary has a song about her Savior. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, this is Mary's song of praise to the Son of God who has not even been born yet. This song tells us what is exactly on Mary's heart. And my hope is over the next 3 weeks, we would look at this song of praise. And my prayer is that you would also have such a song. It would cause you to sing praises to your Savior every day, not just during Christmas. So I'm going to focus on just the first four verses this morning in this song of praise. But before I do that, we have to understand the context of why Mary writes this song of praise. This song seems to come right after a conversation that Mary has with Elizabeth. Who's Elizabeth? Well, Elizabeth is a relative of Mary's. She was told, we can read in Luke chapter 1, she was told by an angel that she would also have a baby in her old age with Zechariah. This child would be John, who would be known John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was already experiencing the very miracle of God. She and Zechariah were going to have a child. You can see it in Luke chapter 1, verse 7. Elizabeth and Zechariah didn't have any children because Elizabeth was barren, or at least she thought, or she was, and yet God in his miraculous plan would bring John the Baptist, the very messenger that would bring and usher in the very path by which our salvation would come through the Son. So already Elizabeth is experiencing this miracle, and she speaks to this young lady, this Mary, her cousin. But why did Mary go to her? Well, I can only imagine Mary was a virgin. She was legally, the Bible says, pledged or betrothed to Joseph. She was supposed to get married, and yet she was pregnant. I imagine she was afraid. I imagine that these people pointed fingers at Mary. She was pregnant with the Son of God. I mean, the circumstances that Mary finds herself in cannot be ideal, to say the least. People would be saying things, pointing fingers in her hometown. Worse yet, they were probably accusing her of so many awful things. I think she went to Elizabeth for encouragement. Look with me at Luke chapter 1. In those days, Mary arose and went in haste to the hill country, to a town, Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she," meaning Mary, "who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." What an amazing encouragement she received from Elizabeth. God uses Elizabeth, who also was going through a very miracle, to encourage Mary. She reminded Mary of the promises of God. And this brought Mary to sing a song of praise. This caused Mary to write a song of praise, remembering the promises of God. Shouldn't this be true today? Doesn't God use people in our lives to bring us to God's word, bring us encouragement of the promises of God when we find ourselves not in ideal circumstances? We should be reminded, just like Elizabeth, to bring people to God's word, to bring people to his promises. And God alone can be the encouragement. God's promises can be the encouragement. Mary's song is not a song of her great circumstances. Mary's song is a song of praise of a great God. Any follower of Jesus Christ can sing this song. What does this song tell us? Well, let's look at the first thing that I see. Mary says in her song, her Savior is going to be born. Look at verse 47 with me. Again, the song says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Make no mistake, Mary needed saving. To those who would elevate Mary to some perfect human being, let Mary's own words by the Spirit of God convince you, Mary needed saving. My God, my Savior. The Greek word for Savior here is soter. We see the word soteriology. That's the theological term, which means the study of salvation. The word carries the meaning of rescuer, deliverer, Savior. As a young Jewish girl, Mary would have learned about the Messiah. She would have sang psalms about her Messiah that would come. In this very song that we sing in Luke, there are no less than 20 references to Old Testament psalms and 1 Samuel. Mary knew God's word. Mary knew she needed a Savior. And her Savior would be born. This word Savior in Scripture, specifically in the New Testament, it's not a common word. Only about 24 times in the New Testament is Jesus referred to as Savior. The most popular reference to God, Jesus, is Lord. In other words, we know that he is Lord because he is in control. He is God. But listen, and this is important, we must recognize that Jesus is our Savior. He is our rescuer. He is our deliverer. From what? The wrath of God. That's from what? Do you realize, follower of Jesus Christ, what Jesus has rescued us from? As a follower of Christ, we should wake up every morning rejoicing in our Savior. That he died for my sins. Just think if you would start your day with that thought. Mary rejoiced in her Savior. He would be born. Every follower of Jesus Christ must recognize that Jesus must be their Savior. A reason a follower of Jesus Christ should sing this song, how it should flow from their heart, is because he saved you. So sing a song of praise this Christmas season, but sing it every single day. Why sing? Because her Savior would be born. Why sing, Mary? Secondly, I see that her Savior showed her grace. Look at verse 48 with me. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. The angel Gabriel came to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and says this. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." The Lord found favor with Mary. The word favor, again, in the Greek, is the word charis. We also get the English word grace from this word, favor. Mary received the grace of God, and this humbled her. This humbled Mary so that she rejoiced that God would even look on her. Mary didn't think she was better than anybody else. Sinless, perfect. She was a sinner and needed God's grace, just like we do. She needed God's favor. She needed God's grace. And so do we. Truly, only those who truly understand what Jesus has done for them understands the meaning of grace. We have songs like John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. How does a person write something like that? How does someone write a song on their heart because they experience God's grace? You want to sing about God's grace? Humble yourself and recognize you need the favor of God. If you're a follower of Christ, did God not look on you? Did God not choose you to be one of his sons or daughters? Meditate on these verses. Tell me that they don't cause you to sing of God's grace. John would write in chapter 1, "But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he, God, gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." If you're a follower of Christ, you sing of his grace, for he found favor in you. Not because you were good, but because he is good. Paul would write about this grace as well. In Romans chapter 9, he wrote this, "Though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, because of him who calls." God finds favor. God is gracious. And we can sing praises of him. Mary rejoiced. Mary sang a song about God's grace. And I hope you can sing that song too. Her Savior would be born. Her Savior showed her grace. And then finally, her Savior does the impossible. Look at verse 49 with me. "For he who is mighty and has done great things for me, and holy is his name." We just sang that song, and we will sing for the next 3 weeks right before the message to remind you how mighty God is. By the word, do you know what the word mighty means? It's actually another Greek word. It's dunamis. The idea of the word is that God makes things that are impossible possible. So when you sing, He is mighty, you are saying that God can do the impossible. And that's what Mary's singing about. God makes things possible. Listen to what Matthew writes in chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked on them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Do you believe that? Mary experienced it. Jesus, Lord and Savior, can make the impossible possible. And that's something to sing about. Are you struggling this morning with some circumstance that feels like it can't be fixed? A marriage on the rocks. You feel like there's no hope that they'll change, he or she. Maybe you have a wayward child. No hope. Maybe you're struggling with addiction, drugs or alcohol, pornography, anger, jealousy. What's your vice? Can God help you? Do you want Him to help you? Let Mary's song, let God's word speak to you this morning. God can do the impossible. Maybe the impossible is to change your heart, to trust Him, to trust Him with your spouse, to trust Him with your child, to trust Him with your job, to trust Him with your circumstances. And you can begin to start to praise God again. May this song of praise remind you that God can do the impossible. When I think of this, I think of my own life when Jesus saved me on November 2nd, 2001. That He would open my eyes to the truth that I needed to be saved, that I was a sinner. Not that I just did bad things, but that my sin separated me from a holy God, and I needed to be forgiven of my sins so that I could have eternal life. That's a miracle. And if you've experienced salvation by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are also an example of the impossible becoming possible through His Son. That's something to sing about. Mary's circumstances, I need you to know, didn't dictate her joy. Her joy in Christ dictated her song of praise. So let's look at them one final time. Here's what Mary's song tells us. Her Savior would be born. So what's the application? Has your Savior been born? I can say this. My Savior has been born. Over 2,000 years ago, my Savior was born. My rescuer, my deliverer, the one who died for my sins was born. Can you sing that? Are you still relying on your good deeds, your good works, the fact you were born in a Christian home, the fact that you're here today? You must not just recognize Jesus as Lord. Because, by the way, whether you recognize Him as Lord, He already knows He is. He doesn't need you to verify that. But he must be both Lord and Savior of your life. Is he? Then sing praises. Secondly, her Savior showed her grace. Well, let me tell you this, follower of Jesus Christ. Our Savior shows us grace every day. Do you sing about it? Let me ask you something. Did you wake up this morning praising God that you had another day on this life, another day in this world? Or is it just another day? By the way, you're still here. God showed you grace. Our Savior, do you see it? Do you look for it? Just this weekend, I had experiences where me and my wife would go to a store and we met different people by coincidence. Do you see the grace around you? Do you praise God for the things that are going on in your life, both good and or bad? Mary shows us that her Savior showed her grace, and it's an example to us that God shows us grace every day. And by the way, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're experiencing the very grace that you have not yet died in your sins. Put your trust in him and experiencing the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And then finally, her Savior can do the impossible. By the way, our Savior still does the impossible. I think oftentimes we're so thankful for our salvation. We're so thankful that Jesus saved us. We just kind of move off from Jesus. You know, I got my salvation card, I get to go to heaven, but I don't need him for my day-to-day living. Brother or sister in Christ, you need to be in complete reliance every single day. For God wants to show you the impossible can be possible. So what's your song today? During communion this morning, follower of Christ, I want you to remember this song. And allow God to put it in your heart by faith. I love what Psalm 40, verse 3 says. David writes, "He put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Do you wonder what song people think you're singing is? What would someone say is your song? This isn't about you being perfect. This is about walking with your Savior, repenting of your sins, but walking with your Savior. Is that your song today? If not, let God put a new song in your mouth, a new song in your heart. As you hold that bread, you are reminded once again that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, a life that we could not live. Jesus, the Son of God, 100% man, 100% God, God incarnate, lived a perfect, sinless life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. When you hold that bread, you are reminded of the ugliness of our sin that put him on that cross. And as a follower of Christ, it should remind us how ugly sin is in our life and that we should ask God, grant us repentance so that we can walk closely with you so that we can sing a song of praise. Hold that bread and be reminded what Jesus has done for you. And then you hold that juice and we're reminded that Jesus' perfect sinless life coupled with his sacrificial death and resurrection is what gives us hope. Jesus had to die. His perfect life does not save us. His perfect life gives him the ability to be our perfect sacrifice. He had to die and then rose from the dead to declare victory. We hold that juice and we rejoice that he would die for us. As you hold that bread and juice, I want you to think of something. This is the last communion of the year, 2023. You think about, if you've been even at High Point Church over the course of the last year, we've done communion 12 times. We did one in January, and now we're closing the year in December. I want you to consider this. What's changed? What's changed in your prayer in January during communion to today? Has anything changed? Are you the same person you were in December or in January of the beginning of this year spiritually as you are right now? Do you want to change? Allow this communion time to do a work on you and to say, God, I really do want to change. I don't want to be selfish. I want to have more gratitude. I want to start helping people. I want to be more generous. If you leave here and nothing changes, my question to you is, do you even have a song of praise? And my question also would be, do the people around you always wonder if you're really saved? Then nothing's changed. And why not start today and allow God to do the impossible? This isn't just another communion. This is an opportunity to rehearse the gospel again. For it is the good news to those who have been rescued. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder in Mary's song of the song that I desire to sing. Lord, that the desire of any follower of Christ should want to sing. And there are parts of this song, Lord, that cause me to repent, where I haven't desired for you to work in areas of my life. And Lord, I see this song and I see an opportunity again today to repent and turn to you and sing praises of your grace. Lord, I don't want to be the same person a month from now, a year from now, or even 30 minutes from now. I want you to work in my life, and I know it's by your grace that will happen. My response is to surrender. And God, do your work in your church. May truly your church, High Point Church, be able to sing this song of praise every single day. For it's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. At this time, there'll be a song played, and it's your opportunity, follower of Christ, to come up and take the communion back to your table or at your chair, and we will commune together. Again, this is for followers of Christ because it's a remembrance of what he has done for you. If you don't know him, pass up this table. But then my question would be, why are you passing up this table? He wants to eat with you. He came for you. Receive his grace through the forgiveness of your sins and enjoy communion for the first time. May God get all the glory.